عادی من باری من باری نهایش رم نو بیه and in mind body only we can know God. The God whom we want to approach is already in this man body. Man body is considered to be the true temple of God. Your God resides in every heart. And we also reside in the same temple. We both of us, our own self and God, reside in this very man body, which is the true temple of God. But pity it is that we cannot speak with God. To see God or to find God or to converse with God, we have to just enter this laboratory of the man body. And this a wonderful house we live. Macrocosm is in the microcosm of the man body. We have great possibilities awaiting us in this man body, and that is what when we know ourselves, we know God too, and we just can traverse into the different planes of the macrocosm and reach the true home of our Father. So these are the possibilities that are awaiting us, but unfortunately, we never had paid any attention to our own self. Man has three aspects. It has the physical body, it has intellect, and it is spirit in man. A drop of the ocean of all consciousness, or conscious entity. We have given food to the body, and we have become physically strong. So, we have also given food to the intellect, and we have become intellectually strong. We have made wonderful inventions which are before us. But all the same, what food we have given to our own self, until we give food to our own selves, which is conscious entity, we have no spiritual health. On the spiritual health depends the health of the mind and body both. So we have to consider what is that bread of life by giving which we can become spiritually strong. As I told you, we have given the food of reading and writing and just drawing inferences at the intellectual level, thinking so many ways, that has given us intellectual health. We can think out in so very better ways. We have given food to the solid food, to the solid body, physical body, and we are physically strong. So, until we come to know what is the true bed of life, or the water of life, which if given to the soul, we can become spiritually strong. For this you will refer to the scriptures that are with us today. We have got references to these things, but we are simply ruminated over them, never gone into them to understand what is what. I'll give you some instances from the different scriptures. Christ went to a well to have a drop of water. He met there a Samaritan lady who was carrying a pitcher full of water over her head, and he asked her to give water. On account of inferiority complex, she said, "Well, we are Samaritans. You people have no connection with us. Why are you asking for water from us?" And the Christ said, had she known who it was who had asked for water, she would have given him this water which she carries. If you drink, that quenches the thirst for a while. Again that thirst, again and again. Had she come to me, I would have given him what? The water of life. There is some water of life which can be given by Christ-like people alone. In the religions we have joined, you see, we have now scriptures there, they refer to these things. We have simply considered out the very elementary steps and the preparatory steps to how to have certain form, certain values of a certain religion, or how to say prayers, or how to perform certain rites and rituals. And that ends there. But we have to read the scriptures, and we should try to understand the scripture, what they say. Scriptures are what? They are fine records of the experiences what the masters had in their life with God and in knowing themselves. What they said, they saw, they experienced in themselves. So if you now want to understand the true import of the teachings, what they said, and what reference they made in their scriptures, we must know, must come by it at the feet of somebody who has that experience, that way of living. Similarly, you find we simply interpret these things at the level of the intellect. And that is why we are not able to do full justice to the work. Again, you find in the scriptures, in other scriptures too, you find the same thing. In the Vedas, in the Bhagavad Gita, it is called a water which gives life of a heaven. Of course, it's in some different language. In the Vedas, you find it as a sobras. Such a life which gives, such a water which gives life to everything. And what it is for the masters. Other scriptures now, they tell us, they say that what is that water of life? Guru Amar Das tells us net. If you just come in contact, your soul comes in contact with the God pervading power, which is the cause of creation and controlling all creation, the God in action power, that is conscious. Your soul is conscious. So there, if you come in contact with that, only then, that the water of life, which will give you life. When you drink that water, then you will be accepted at the door of God. And you will be one with that. But this is such a water of life, which is the panacea for all ills. For the go to say. But that is demands that can be had only at the feet of the mat. As Christ said, had she come to me, I would have given the water of life, by drinking which his thirst would have been quenched forever. So this is some water which is to be given by the masters. Again and again they refer to it. When you drink it, the same thing Guru Nanak says, that the water of life or the elixir of life with you, which can give us an everlasting life, that is, by drinking it you can have everlasting life. The same words I tell you, different languages, of course, given by the same. Again, you find in the Bible too, Christ said, I am the bread of life. This bread of life has come down from heaven. Whoever partakes of it has everlasting life. And the same thing you find again in other scriptures. I am quoting these things to you only to show that you can have everlasting life only by coming in contact with God. By coming in contact, who has to come in contact with God? That is our own self. Real. We are conscious entities. We are embodied souls. But our souls are under the control of mind. And mind is under the control of the outgoing faculties. And we are identified with the outside things so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. So unless we liberate our souls from mind, and our new faculties and our attention, which is the expression of our soul, which is just engrossed, diffused into the outside things, unless that is withdrawn from there, and we come up, the outgoing faculties or senses, we can come in contact with that water of life or the bread of life. So this is the food which is given to our soul, we can become spiritually strong. Similar reference we find in other masters' scriptures. They tell us, if you rise above this body has got 9 doors. 9 apertures. If you shut the doors of the temple of the body, you will see the light of heaven. You blow, withdraw your attention from the 9 doors, 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, 2 ears, mouth, and other joints and organs. You withdraw within, there is a 10th door also. That's the door which leads from the body to enter into the kingdom of God. That is called the 10th door, and that lies where? that lies at the seat of soul at the back of the eyes, between the two eyebrows. If your soul is withdrawn, that's permitted in darkness, of course, but when that is opened, you enter, you are the exception to the kingdom of God. And here you get contact with light of God and the sound principle of God. So this is the bed of life. What is in there? He says there is light also, and there is very sweet music of the spheres going on. And that is the true water of life, are the true bread of life, by eating which your hunger is appeased forever. By drinking the sweet symphonies of which your thirst is quenched forever. See, so this is the bread of life. This is the water of life that is within us, but we cannot come in contact with it until we withdraw from outside and rise above body portion. How to withdraw from outside and how to rise above body consciousness, this is a practical subject. For all masters, they need somebody who is competent to help us to withdraw from outside, indoors, spirit currents from the body, up to the seat of the soul in the body, or say rise above senses, or say learn to die so that you may begin to live. These are the words we find in the scriptures. But it is that we have only ruminated over them, never gone into the true import, what they really mean. And this true import can be given only by those who have an access to it, who have the same experience, or who are on the way. So what they tell us, intellectual people simply define it, what is the bed of life? Well, it is in Christ. What is the light? God is light, that is intellectual light. Well, that is substantial something which can be experienced at the feet of the Master. So unless we come across the Master, we cannot have that experience, although that is already within us. That is why it is said, kingdom of God cannot be had by observation. So long as your attention is just diffused into the world through these outgoing faculties, well, you have no access to it. We must withdraw our attention from outside, enter this laboratory of the man body, and rise up to the level of the eyes, at the back of which the two feet of the soul is there. Then you find this bed of life and have the water of life. This is the gift of the Master. And you'll find only coming to a Master will not only do. Guru Nanak says, O man, the water of life for which you have just come into the world and got a man body, that is the source of all happiness, all joy, all bliss. You can have that only at the feet of the Master. He says, you have joined various religions for that very purpose. And my evening talk, I was just laying before you what is meant by spirituality. Spirituality means knowing oneself, liberating it from the tentacles of mind and outward faculties, just withdraw from the body at the back of the eyes, and have a look into the beyond. To come in contact with the God in the expression power, which is God is light. And God is Sarva-Brahma. So he says, remain in whatever religion you are, but unless you rise above the body consciousness, you cannot have that gift. Although it is within you, and that also requires the help of some master to bring you up to body level, up to come to the eye level. He says, remain in some religions, because you see how the social bodies of religions have to do with our physical body only. We wear badges of those different schools or colleges of religions we have joined. We read those scriptures, and also we say prayers, and further we perform certain rites and rituals. These all relate to the man body, physical body. To remain in physical body, doing all these things, you may be very regular, you may be saying prayers daily, you may be performing rites and rituals without any break day to day. You may be reading scriptures only. You may understand what is what even to be able to sit at the feet of somebody who knows the way. Still, by reading alone or performing these things, don't boast of it until you rise in the body consciousness and have this gift of water of life and the breath of life. And that can be had, remain in some religions. To remain in some religion is a blessing. If you don't remain, there will be corruption, or you will have to raise another religion. There are already so many religions. They have already multiplied in so many. There are religions that have already stood the test of times. We should remain there. But just rise above, according to the teachings given by the masters who came from time to time in different religions. And they said the water of life is there and the bread of life is there. You will have it when you rise above the body consciousness. So they say, why the meaning in your own religion? You rise above body consciousness and the religions will only end with your physical body. When you rise above physical body, what you are? Your conscious entities, your conscious beings, you are the doves of the ocean of all consciousness. You are of the same essence, of the same religion as that of God. They say, remain there, but rise above, where you are already one. You are all children of God, brothers and sisters in God. So for that reason, all masters tell us that this is the gift of the master. I just opened the Bible, you see, and so on the very page, what connection we should have with the master. There is in John chapter 15. We should, as Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That everybody knows. Keep our commandments means to live by the words what the Master said. But here is something where all scriptures have reference to those things. You simply read them with Father. He says there, I am the true vine and my father is the husbandman. I am the true vine, and my father is husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. and every branch that it may bring forth, and every branch that beareth fruit, he budgeteth it that it may bring forth more fruit. So it means, so long as the branches are embedded in the vines, they bear fruit. When they are cut out from the vines, they cannot bear the fruit. He said, I am the true vine. How you can be embedded in the vines? By engrafting. You cut it out and put the branch of some other tree, even you put it in some other tree, and they become all two into one. You see? Similarly says, you abide in me. How can you abide in him? Whom you remember at heart, naturally the reaction takes place to whom you remember. They say, how you can abide in the Master, you see? So he goes on further to say, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. He says, I have spoken a word to you which is the cleansing power, which can burn away all sins, all iniquities, all infirmities, which is the bread of life and the water of life. Abide in me and I in you. How clear was that? Abide in me and I in you. When you remember somebody, that will react in him. When that will react there, he will again react in you. So that becomes receptivity. Such a disciple becomes one with the mind. You are in him and he is in you. First you have to obey the commandments he gives, live up to them. And the second one is, you abide in him just as a branch is resting, abideth in the vines. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. You follow? Who can have that bread of life and the water of life? Who not only lives up to what he says, but he also abides in him. And how to have the sweet remembrance of the Master at heart? That sweet remembrance will react in the Master, and when he reacts there, you are remembered, and again he remembers that reacts in you. Guru Arjan puts a question. If a disciple remembers his Master all the time, what does the Master do? Master is not a man. Man body is God. But in him is conscious, he sees, I and my Father are one. He has no more to remember anybody, but he is conscious that he is one. What does he do? He remembers his disciples. Those disciples who remember him, react in him. In this way you develop receptivity. And by receptivity what happens? You put the same question to the Master. He may be living at hundreds of miles away. And go to the disciple, put him the same question. And you will see they speak the same words. That's due to their breath, you see. They have become the mouthpiece. Disciple becomes the mouthpiece of the Master. The Master speaking to him. This is how you have got the bread of life, and what is he? Christ, I am the bread of life, and all masters say, we are the bread of life.
Good morning, and welcome to the satsang for Master Krupal Singh. The recording you just heard was the first half of a talk that Master gave on December 13, 1963. It was given the name, Readings from St. John. Our reader this morning is Scott Stewart. Scott read for the Gathering of Initiates, which was held at Lake Junaluska, North Carolina, in May of this year.
Good morning. Today we're going to read from Master's The Light of Kripal, and it's chapter 6, and it's very few titled. Very few really want to go home. And it was given on September 13th, 1970, in Dehradun. So it's questions and answers, and the questioner starts off, "I wonder if you'd talk about our home in Sachkhand." Master, suppose you've seen a beautiful building or the palace of a king somewhere, and then you go to some small village made up of only earth bricks, not even fully ripened. I want to give you an example. You may spend some time in the astral, very little in the causal, nothing more. These are matters to be experienced. The stage at which God comes into full expression is in Sachkhand or Sat Nam. That can only be experienced in the spiritual planes. There are physical, astral, causal, and beyond them, the spiritual planes. You can be given some poor description to some extent of the astral and causal planes, but beyond that, really cannot be understood in this language. Question: is it possible to talk about what it's like living there? Master: it is just like a bubble of water in the sea, sometimes found up to Sat Lok. It is all light, scintillating light, very strong. It cannot be compared with the astral or causal lights. If you enter that place, it is like fountains of light gushing out. Still beyond is the entrance hall to Sat Lok. The fountains of light come gushing out. It is something like that. Question: why did we ever leave, or did we have any choice? Master: you know, God made the world. He sent us to the world. Why he sent us, that is the question. I think it's better to go to him and ask him. Question: back to meditation. Master: get to him and ask him. Then you'll not have your intellect, and you will know why he sent us. We are, in fact, in a prison. The house is on fire. Man should not ask who has set the fire to the house. It is better to get out of the house and then inquire. Instead of inquiring who lit the fire, why he lit it, come out, get out of this danger, this house. Transcend, go into it. Then you will follow many things. After all, we will come to know it is his will. Why did he make the world? Why does man give birth to children? It is his wish, isn't it? Question: I suppose that's to keep Kal's realm populated, isn't it? Master: well, it is your wish. You go for that purpose. What is the reason he sent us? We are sent down. Sometimes we are in the lap of him. It was his will, and he willed it. Suppose I go from India to the United States. There I'll have to abide by the laws of the United States. It is something like that. He sent us. Why did he send us? It was his will. All masters said like that. Nothing more can be said. Once this question was put to our master, who replied, let us go to him and then ask him. It is better. Question: in some aspects of Indian philosophy, it's described as God enjoying himself. Master: a way of expression, enjoying himself. Have you ever frolicked with yourself? If you have, you are a miniature God, micro God. He said that the world is a joy, seeing his own greatness at the same time. What is it? Then it means he was all alone, and he was very much lonely. So he wanted some creation to feel joy. But why he made the world, who can reply? Why he sent us here? It is his will. The first action which reacted in the shape of sending us down, we did nothing wrong. We were sent down. That was from no reaction. In the world we sow something and reap, isn't it? What seed have we sown? We have remained in him. Question: that's the big question. Master: these are not my words. These are the words of the master. Now we are reaping what we have sown. But what did we do before we were sent down to the world? Question: But you do hold out the hope that at least we'll get the answer to that at perhaps the top of the mental realm or the causal. Is the answer there? Master, past there. Not there either. Up to there, you will only know the reaction of our own past births. Question, in Saj Khand, the answer is available? Master, Saj Khand, no. The information of why you've been born, reborn, here, there, you can have on the causal plane, too. But this very question of why we were sent down into the world cannot be substantiated there. It is for God alone to reply. He sent us. Why did He send us when we did not do anything wrong? Did you do anything wrong? What sin did we commit before being sent down here? Question. Well, the Old Testament explanation about Adam and Eve, how should that be regarded, Master? Adam and Eve in Genesis recorded their own names, but how did the creation come into being? Look here, I tell you. Did the seed precede the fruit, or did the fruit precede the seed? Did egg precede the hen, or did hen precede the egg? No reply, you see. It's all delusion. It is all Maya, delusion. So there's reaction. Adam and Eve, that's only the position. There's one man, one woman, and they say Adam was first and then Eve. Then she did something. She ate the fruit of the tree. God had come down and out of him created Eve. Before? But what before that? Suppose you know. How would it help you, dear friend? The house is on fire. Let us come out. Question. Well, we're all trying to get out of that house, but the feet seem to be stuck in the mud there. Master, truly speaking, we do not want to come out. Very rarely we do. And those who do, they change a little bit. Question. You say, truly speaking, most people aren't trying. Master, no. Most people don't want to leave all this. What is this? To give up this beautiful body they're carrying, all attachments, relations in these temples, houses and cars and everything. Who would leave them? Question. So most of the people here who are trying stand a pretty good chance of doing it? Of course, with the grace of the Master. Master, even of those who have taken up this path, very few do really want to go. They put in time and still they are stuck fast. They pray to God so that they may have something of the world, here and in the hereafter. Very few there are who really want to go home. Question. What percentage of those of us here are going to make it? Master, the seed that was sown cannot be destroyed. It must bring forth fruit. Question. Let me ask what percentage will make it this year. Master, how will it help you? Question. I was just reading an article that you wrote that says three or possibly four lives. Master, I never wrote like that. No, no, no. You might have read this in the sayings of the Masters. I say even the four stages can be passed in one life, not necessarily four lives. Question. Yes, you say that in the article too. In one life, then why, Master, excuse me. In one life, then why four lives? There are four stages of development. That's all. In the first stage, man is hungry. Then he meets the Master. Then he attaches us to Nam. Then he should be fully devoted to him. There are different stages of development. The hunger is there. The bread is there. He eats it and is satisfied. Not necessarily four lives, but man is in the make, I tell you. Some are more ready. Some are comparatively less ready. But a man can pass through all these four stages in one life. Although we find there are four stages required, some people do interpret differently. That's all. Question. Is there any way of accurately telling who has succeeded in breaking through into perhaps the first one or two stages just by evaluating their characteristics? I mean, should they suddenly become pure for having broken through into the mental and astral? Master, I can give you some instances. Now I tell you, one lady from the West wrote me a letter. She has passed through Trikuti. I put her a question and she replied. She replied with vague ideas of that plane. She had experienced some, but not fully. I explained it to her. She still lives there in the West. Question. Let's see. That's the top of the mental? Master. Yes. The people do progress, you see. Here also we have people who have progressed. In the West, too. There are few, of course, but still there are some. Question. Are those who progressed, perhaps, that for usually the quiet type, that never call attention to themselves at all? Master. Why not? They have got this body, the temple of God. They thank God. And they while away this visit by going within. That's very unusual pleasure in God, of course. Question. I was just wondering if there were any personality characteristics that would identify a person. Master. The main thing is he'd be loving. He will be glad to give, not receive. Love knows service and sacrifice. He loves God residing in every heart. He loves the animals. He loves the snakes. He loves the birds. They're the younger brothers of the family of God. He wishes peace be unto all the world over, and thy will, O God, with no question. Question. Having gone to that plane, or the mental plane, he wouldn't retain any personality quirks then. Master. Personality blurs. Consciousness of self, unless it is absorbed, as I gave you an example, like a bubble on the water, that then dissipates in the water, and it is something like the water. Let me give you an example. A newly married wife is asking her mother, how shall I know how it is when a child is born? You see? And her mother told her, you'll have the baby and then tell us yourself. When you go up, then say something. When you feel that way, you'll say, oh, this is like that. This is like that. Until then, you cannot even think of any words. He is calling us. You'll know. Are you sure? You are satisfied? Convinced? That the path you have been put on is right? Questioner. Oh, yes. Master. Then go on. That's all. You've had some glimpses, if not more. Some proofs. Questioner. Yes. Master. Then go on. If you can have things now, others can be expected. Forget the past and forget the future. What will happen and what will not happen? That's the question when the mother told her daughter. You will see, then tell us. Go on. Leave all questions. All questions only to first understand. When you've followed, understood, then go on with it. First, you're not the body, are you? Well, let's rise above it. Pass into the beyond. Stay there longer. There's more bliss there than here. All glory and beauty lies within. When you are sure and are now convinced that the way is all right, and you come to know something of it, some inner experience, and I say this will follow. Questioner. The case of the kindergartner wanting to get to the sixth grade too quickly. Master. Time factor is a necessity. As I told you, the strong man revels in his strength and the weaker man wonders how he got it. Many of you got something. Others, from different schools, have no experience or very little experience. There are hundreds of so-called masters. Thousands go to them. They are not convinced of it because they don't see inside. Now at least, thank God, you have something convincing. Master lays out the criterion. Don't believe in the words of the master unless you see for your own self. If a man is not convinced that there is light inside, he will ask, how can there be light? One saint came here, a so-called saint. He was giving long talks. I went to hear what he had to say. He came to know something about me from somebody and began a very long talk. Well, what is inside? There is all filth, all blood, intestines, nothing inside. If you want to see the sun, you can see it in the high heavens during the day. People were wonderstruck. What was he after? Well, he came to me. I said, there is light inside, you can see. But what about those people who came to him and others like him? Thank God you are not one of them. You see, there is something. You bear testimony. Questioner, you've initiated yourself. Some of those people who talk like that, some of these other teachers, haven't you? I mean, you've initiated some, but they don't like to admit that you've initiated them. I can think of a couple of examples. Master, there are a few cases like that, definitely. Chapter 7, titled True Temple is the Man Body. The talk was given on September 13th, Solon Ashram. Questioner, have any blind people broken through other than just seeing light? I mean, have any blind people seen the Master within? Master, first time I went to America in 1955 in California, one blind doctor was there. Blind. He got light. This is so. He gives eyes to the blind man. It is very definite in the Bible that that light is there, you see. It is a matter of inversion, rising above body consciousness. That's all. I initiated more than 36 blind men at one time. Light is already there. It is just a matter of withdrawing your attention from outside. It appears to be impossible to see light within. Who will believe? You are light. You are a spark of light. Some visualize light, but more people do see of themselves there is light. Very definitely, as 2 and 2 make 4. Pity it is, there are few who really know this. In the past, too, there were few, not hundreds. How many saints can you count on your fingers? Christ, Buddha, Nanak, Kabir? Very few, out of thousands and millions and billions of people. Questioner, were all 10 of the 6 saints genuine saints? Master, they had 6 saints up to the 10th guru. After that, there are 6 gurus. Ratnagar Rao, Tulsi Sahib, Swamiji, Jamal Singh, Samwan Singh, Kirpal Singh, that was in parentheses. I tell you, the gurudom continue, you see, and still there are a few, of course, not many. Questioner, who was the link between the 10th Sikh guru and the later 6? Master, I tell you, the 10th guru was Guru Gobind Singh. The times were very disturbed when he was there. He left the scene. He did not die. He left the scene and remained there in seclusion for about 17 years. He took some of the people with him, some state people. Then he initiated one of them and told him to initiate other people of his family. In that family, Tulsi came up, Tulsi Sahib. Tulsi was a great saint. Questioner, Tulsi was not directly initiated by Guru Gobind Singh, by Gobind Singh then? Master, through him. Question, there was one other person in between. That person's name, is it available? Master, at least I know it is not in history. Questioner, well, where did the rumor ever get started that Gobind Singh was the last? Master, these are the stories that come up. The times were disturbed. Many people asked him what to do. He had to leave, go away. He said, all right, what the scriptures say, do it. That was a sort of criterion. The scriptures say, go to the master. His idea was to raise people who are fully effulgent with light within them. Khalsa means he who is fully effulgent with light within. A Khalsa who has light within, only he can give an experience of light to others. Questioner, I would imagine that last year, 1969, when you toured the Punjab, you explained these things that you're telling, you're now telling me to the 6 up there. How do they accept the idea that there has been a continuation? Master, they never object to my voicing that. I tell them, God is light. The physical body in which he manifests is the Guru. He resides in every heart. Where God fully manifests, we call him saint. That's all. They cannot refute it. Questioner, but I mean, are they happy about the idea that the line was continued? Master, the staunchest have been initiated. The staunchest Arya Samajis have been initiated. The staunchest Jains have been initiated. The staunchest Mohammedans have been initiated. Roman Catholics have been initiated. Questioner, Is it making a big change in the basic Sikh church? Master, most are stuck fast like other religions, isms. They're stuck fast in isms. That school is better where many students turn out successfully. What is the sign of success? They should see light within. Questioner, so you're not trying to change the Sikh church really? Master, well, you see, these things are made with a very noble purpose. All isms are schools of thought. When men came to a master who had solved the mystery of life, knew themselves, knew God, those who came to him also knew God. Later on, the masters left the scene. These schools came into being. They are schools. So long as there are practical people, people were getting something. For want of practical people, the same good old custom corrupts itself. Formations result in stagnation, and stagnation results in deterioration. When a master comes, he says, well, dear friend, you have forgotten. He revives. No new things are given. Ever since this paid preaching has started in all religions, it has played havoc. They've not seen. Blind leads the blind, both falling into the ditch. Questioner, could religions be kept going if a number of saints were sent to the world at the same time? Would that solve the problem? Master, religions are stuck, congealed now. Questioner, I mean a number of saints could uncongeal them. Master, they'd awaken some of them, not all religions as a whole. They consider the performance of certain rites and rituals as the end all. This is what they have come to see. I'll give you an example. Who are you? You are soul, embodied soul. There is light within you. There is the right way to know yourself. Now you are identified with the body, so much so you cannot differentiate yourself. When you rise above, you know. When you know, you see the light. This is a fact. This is the right way of progressing spiritually. But if you were lighting hundreds of candles outside and praying, God is light, God is light, would it not appear very frivolous? They're chanting. They're speakers, speaking in high voices, hands high, standing on their toes. Oh, God, help them. Excuse me, I'm speaking very straight now. The main thing is that you are soul. Have you analyzed yourself? Have you seen God? Compare the man who has done that with another man who for 100 years has been lighting, putting candles in chapels, churches, mosques, or temples. So you compare that. In India, there is a custom when the girls are about to be married. They learn all these rituals, etc., of the married people. But when they are married, they say all these things are forgotten. The real spirituality is to know yourself. What did your guru say? Jyot Niranjan, you are Jyoti, you are light. Are you not? With your repetition of the names of all these three lokas are within you. Onkar Rarankar means you transcend these three planes, lokas. Then you feel you and God are one. I and my Father are one. Then you rise in it and transcend. These things are not explained fully. That's the pity. You daily say, oh, Jyot Niranjan, what is it? You are Jyoti. You are light, but you are entangled in the worldly things. To really rise up above it and then say, that is something else. To simply say, God is light. I am not body. I am not this. What will that do? And those who are stuck only in the performance of rituals on certain days consider that to be the all and end all. Of course, that is the preparatory ground for preparation. But your ego is there. If you sow good, you'll reap good. So good and bad actions will result in good or bad because you are the doer. You'll come and go, come and go. You cannot get out of this wheel of life. But if you see that he is the doer, not you, then there is no coming and going. And that comes only when you sit at the feet of a master and you see the light within and hear the sound. When Kennedy died, I saw the funeral on television. What was the Archbishop doing? He was throwing wine. That intoxication is not the true intoxication, you see. Excuse me. I am just putting before you things in the right perspective. They think it is the end all. Do you know that many bishops have been initiated? Questioner, Catholic bishops? Master, yes. I went to London on my first tour. I said in my talk, God does not reside in temples made with stone. One reverend stood up. You have thrown an atom bomb on all our churchianity. The fact remains, God resides in the house which he himself made, in this body. Who is this body? It was made in the womb. Is there any machinery there? God lives in the temple he has made, not in the temple made with stone by the hand of man. Now, where does all this churchianity and all the isms go? Excuse me. If you're going, all right, go on, then rise above it. It's a polite way of telling. When you rise above these things, we'll leave you sure. They go. Masters come to fulfill, not to destroy. All right, go on. There are 700 or more religions. How can you change them? All have got their own ways of living, brought about by climatic influences, their own customs, their own temperaments. But this is something clear to everybody. The same speech, the same lesson is given to everybody, whether you are made in this form or that form. That makes no difference. But masters say, what they see, and let others see too. Where do all these isms stand with due deference? The basic teachings are the same. It is no new thing I am telling you. Christ says, I and my Father are one. Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. I am the bread of life. Didn't he say that? But now the teachings of Christ is the light of the whole world, past and future. One Christian came up to me and said, those who will believe in Christ will be saved, others will not. And then I put him a question. Dear friend, that's right. Those who believe in Christ, Christ is a power. All right. But of those who came before him, what will be their fate? Christ's name is there. That's all right. They may believe him. But those who came before him, what will be their fate? Well, they are stuck fast like anything. So this is the fate, too, of the people in all religions. I think the Sikh gurus made a very universal thing. First of all, they put all the sayings of as many masters as they could lay hands on in one book. Kabir is there. Namdev is there. Ravi Das is there. There are 72 saints. Spiritual sayings are there. No other religion has done that. They started a very universal thing, and yet they are also stuck fast. They have forgotten. Well, that's the end of our time. Thank you, Master, for the reading, and we pray that we'll always live up to what you ask of us.
That was Scott Stewart reading for the Gathering of Initiates held at Lake Junaluska in May of this year. He read from the book Light of Kripal, Chapter 6, entitled Very Few Really Want to Go Home, and Chapter 7, called True Temple is the Man Body. Thank you, Scott, for your reading. There were 81 people at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
After all, we have to leave the body. This gives a demonstration how to leave the body. If you work day to day regular practice, what you will find? When you time of your leaving the body, you are jolly, you go smiling, because you know to leave the body every day. All glory and beauty lies within you. God resides in you.